done make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no. Yes, I've been black, but when I come
That's
back,
Amy Winehouse, no. And as you can gather from her song lyrics, she definitely doesn't want to go to rehab. But this week, her father-in-law urged her fans to stop buying her albums as a way of pressuring her to go into rehab. This story interested me for a couple of reasons. One, it struck me as kind of strange that a family member would make such a public plea by calling on people around the world to join him in pressuring her to get some help. The other reason was that it really made me wonder how family members deal with an addict within their family and some of the struggles they must face when they're trying to help someone they love and might feel helpless and even desperate. And that was what concerned me about this story, was it seemed the plea was made out of desperation, perhaps. I'm sure that they have tried many other things. So for the next half hour, till the end of the show, we are going to talk about how people deal with maybe an addict in their family. Have you ever had to deal with an addiction within your family? And if so, how did you handle it? 1-877-300-SASK, 1-877-300-7275. Now, this is a more serious topic. So if you want to be, you don't have to share too many details, but maybe just whether it was through intervention or counseling. What did you do in your family to deal in this kind of a situation? Lorinda Strang, is the executive director of the Orchard Recovery and Treatment Center in British Columbia. And she joins us on the line now to talk about how to deal with an addiction within your family. Lorinda, thank you for coming onto the show this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Lorinda, and sorry about that, Miss. I wanted to say, do you get Strange a lot?
Yes, sometimes.
Okay, as soon as I meant Strang, so sorry about
that.
I've got a funny last name too, so I hate when people mispronounce it. So first of all, what did you think when you heard this story of Amy Winehouse and her father-in-law urging her fans to help pressure her to go into rehab?
My first thought was that her dad loves her an awful lot, because a lot of, especially celebrities, I don't think their family members always would take that risk of having them lose any part of their career.
Well, absolutely.
And he's worried that she's going to die.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and from the stories I read, it was, trying to force almost a rock bottom. Like, if we do this, it will force her to go into rehab because she'll realize she needs help.
Yeah.
And that was what I got from these news stories as far as his rationale behind that.
Yeah.
So, and of course, so this story struck me not really because of this whole of her individual story, but more, I'm sure there are people, millions of people around the world who do have to deal with addictions within their family or with friends. Even if you have a close friend or a family friend who is dealing with this, it can be quite challenging and devastating. So how do family members deal with it, I guess?
I find that the family members are going through a harder time than the addict is themselves most of the time.
How come?
When we have at the Orchard, when we have family members bringing in the client, the family members want to stay in rehab more than the client does.
Oh, is that right?
Because they're exhausted, and they're not self-medicating themselves with drugs. They're living in the real world.
Okay.
Whereas the addict is, they're using a drug that medicates them, so they're high.
So with a family, I guess, how do family members then deal with that? Like, how do they get their family member the treatment they need if the addict, one, maybe doesn't want the treatment or realizes that they need the treatment, or two, they realize they need the treatment, but maybe they're not ready, maybe they're scared, and like you said, they're living in this medicated world.
Yeah. Well, first thing is that going to treatment's not a punishment. It's a reward. Most of the time you're going to get your life back, but the addict doesn't see it that way. And I would say that the family members need to get help for themselves before they can even get help for the addict.
And why is that? Is that because they're dealing with the, like you said, they're living in the real world and they're dealing with this added stress?
They often are very angry, upset, they're scared, they're irrational. They start saying things that they shouldn't say.
Feeling resentful, maybe?
Very resentful and angry. And it depends on how far along the person is in their addiction. There's a saying, say what you mean what you say, and don't say it mean, when you're speaking with the addict. And I would recommend any family member, first thing they should do is do their research. They should go to Al-Anon to get help for themselves. And they should be ready for when the addict says that they need help. So if you're thinking that the addict needs to go to rehab, you should do your research, find out what you can afford, look for treatment in your area or out of town, whatever you decide to do, so that if the person reaches out for help, you're ready to go.
And is that really the time to do the research, is beforehand, so you are ready to go, as opposed to when the addict says,
absolutely.
Let's
when the
go.
Addict says, I want help, you got to go. You have a window of 48 hours, usually, before they
change their mind.
And the best time is when they've just suffered some negative consequences. Mm-hmm. So the day that they're feeling their worst is the day that you are ready to go. And if they say, I want help, you're able to even say, we can go tomorrow, we can go right now, I can get you help.
Now, why
and you
is
know
there...
where you're going and what you're going to do.
Now, why is there such a small window of opportunity there? What happens that...
It depends on what... A little bit of it depends on what drug they're using. If they're using crack cocaine or crystal meth or any of those kind of drugs, they've got about... They usually crash, and so they're going to sleep, and they're feeling really bad. And then quickly, again, they start craving, and then they're going to go out and use again. So you need to get to them before that craving hits. And once they're on their way to go buy their drugs, there's nothing that's going to stop them. So the day when they wake up and they're going, oh, my goodness, what have I done? I feel terrible. They're feeling shame, guilt, remorse. And you're there, and you're being loving and kind and supportive, and not judging them, but offering them help. And you're offering them that a way out of the nightmare.
And that has to happen at that point before the addiction takes over. Well, not that it doesn't take over, but that addiction is so powerful. And
the addiction is very powerful. And another thing for the family to remember is to love the person, but they can hate the disease of the addiction.
So that's a really... Okay, so separating that person, like, still loving who that person is, but realizing that this addiction and the drug, and really focusing maybe those negative feelings towards that instead of the person inside.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that was, you know, your sister or your friend, your brother, your uncle, whomever that person may be. And that
Absolutely.
You remember before the addiction.
Yeah, you can... Because you're going to be angry. So you need to separate the two out.
Okay.
And it really helps the family member, because they feel guilty that they're so angry.
So the family member that's trying to help the addict is feeling guilty because they're angry at that person, or maybe they've lashed out in the past, of course, if there's a drug or alcohol abuse. And of course, there are all sorts of other issues that come about when there's an addiction involved. We're talking about how family members can deal with an addiction within their family, whether it's a parent, a sibling, a child, another relative, or even a close friend. How do you deal with that addiction? How do you provide the help that's needed? And how do you look after yourself? Because as Lorinda pointed out, you do need to get that counseling for yourself as well in order to deal with the stress of dealing with an addiction. If you've had a family member or a friend that has had to deal with an addiction, what's worked for you? How did you deal with it? Call 1-877-300-SASK, 1-877-300-7275. Or if you have any questions for Lorinda as well, she's happy to answer any questions. After the break, we're going to talk about when the addict's ready to move forward, how to be ready, and what's expected, what you can expect at treatment and what that person can expect afterwards. So we'll pick that up after the break. I'm Michelle Higley. This is News Talk Radio. We're talking about having a family member or a friend who is dealing with an addiction and how those family members and friends deal with it. And it's coming from a news story. I'm bringing this up because recently we heard that Amy Winehouse, the British singer who's a hit single Rehab, is quite popular, has refused to go into rehab. Her father-in-law is urging fans to boycott her albums and her music in an effort to force her or to make her realize that she does need that treatment. So it got me thinking about how other family members or family members around the world, how people deal with addictions, maybe within their own families or within their own circle of friends. Have you ever had to deal with an addiction within your own family or with friends or know of people? 1-877-300-SASK, 1-877-300-7275. Also, if you have any questions for Lorinda, give us a call. Lorinda Strang is the Executive Director of the Orchard Recovery and Treatment Center based in British Columbia. Lorinda, before the break, I wanted to I said that we'd come back and talk about maybe an intervention and how to maybe get an addict the treatment that they need. And you were saying that the best time is that 48-hour window after the addict has expressed the need or the desire for help. And you've got that window, but often we do hear where people, friends and families, will get together to stage an intervention. When do you know when it's time to take that action, and how effective is that?
Intervention is an excellent idea for any family, and you can do it with a professional or you can do it on your own. If you're going to do it on your own, you need to research out how to do it. But if you can get a professional involved, if you can afford that, that's the way to go, definitely. Usually when they do an intervention, the whole family members write out an incident that has happened to them with the addict in their family and how it made them feel. And they don't use the tactic that Amy Winehouse's father is using right off the bat. That's called the bottom line. That's what the family member will do if the person refuses to go into treatment. So they wouldn't say right off the bat, if you don't go into treatment, I'm your employer, I'm going to fire you, or I'm your dad and I'm going to take away your car. What they do is they try to go at it, first of all, from a more loving, not that that's not loving, but from a more positive perspective, making them understand how it's made them feel and how it's hurting the family and how much they all love the person and want to get them help.
And is this more of a how this has affected me as opposed to what you've done to us? Like that tone, it's not so much accusing them?
Non-judgmental.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then if the person says, no, I'm not going to go, then they go into the next stage, which is, you know, the parents
laying out the consequences.
Then they lay down the consequences. And you usually do an intervention after the person has suffered a bunch of negative consequences on their own. So the family needs to stop enabling them so that they can, and the employers and, you know, your record label company, everybody who's covering up for them and making it easy for them, it's actually harming them and enabling them to continue their drug use. Mm-hmm. It's cushioning their fall.
Okay. And so they need to take out all of those supports and all of that, I guess, what do you call it, like...
It's very hard for family members to do, because they're most often is what they're afraid of. First of all, they might be afraid of the embarrassment in the family, or if the person loses their job, how are they going to survive without that? Or at the bottom line is they're afraid that the person's going to die if they do that.
If they stop enabling, and if they,
yes, that's usually the fear of the family.
How do you deal with the guilt of that? If you know, maybe in an indirect way, you're enabling them by, I'm trying to think of an example. Like maybe you're not contributing directly to the addiction, but setting it up so that family member gets away with it. Like you said, softening or cushioning the consequences. How do you get through that guilt, I suppose, or, you know, to just cut off that support?
You need help for yourself. You need a support group for yourself. You need a counselor. You need it's very hard for the family member to go about this on their own without support. Okay. So they need help for themselves, and they should start getting that right away. Otherwise, it's too difficult.
Okay. So, and just a quick question on the intervention, because we do have to wrap it up. When do you know it's time? Like, when do you know it's ready
time
to take
to do
that
an intervention?
Yes.
What the family member considers that the addict. You'll be thinking they've hit bottom.
Okay.
Okay, this is it. They've hit bottom.
Okay.
Oh, they would never, every time they cross that, they cross over doing one more thing that they said they would never do.
Okay.
I'd never drink and drive. I would never, you know, not show up to
work. And then they do that, and then...
And they do it, and it gets worse and worse.
Okay.
And so the family member sees clearly this person is out of control.
Okay, and so that's when you take that step. There's lots of information online as well, and like you said, do your research. Lorinda, thank you so much for joining us this half hour.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for joining me too this half hour. Or sorry, these last 2 hours. Join me tomorrow at 3:00. Unless you're at the Rider game, I will forgive you. We'll be talking about high school. We'll be talking about tag on the school grounds. And we're talking about making weekday mornings a little less crazy, home security, and how we spend our summer vacations. I'm feeling a little frazzled here, but I will have it together tomorrow at 3:00. So that's tomorrow. We'll talk then. I'm Michelle Higley. This is News Talk Radio.